Welcome to this program of Bible study. My name is Garland Robinson. We're looking at daily Christian living, how we ought to conduct ourselves, our affairs, every day. Because the Bible says that when we die to the old life of sin, we don't live that way anymore. Romans chapter 6, verse after verse after verse, beginning of verse 1, all the way down through verse 18 and beyond, talks about dying to the old way of sin and living a new life in the Lord. And that's all culminates, that all initiates, that all begins when we're baptized. You know, it's amazing then that denominational churches continue in their teaching and upholding of denominational doctrine. Now, believe you're saved by faith only. Well, obviously the Bible says faith is essential to salvation. We can't please God without it. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But yet, faith without works is dead. But even faith itself is a work. Anything we do is a work. Now, we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but we are saved by the works of God. And John 6:29 says that even faith is the work of God. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the work that God has commanded us to do. And that is God's work, not mine. We're not looking of our own merit, of our own goodness to be saved. We're simply doing what God has commanded. And when we do, we haven't earned salvation of our own. We've simply accepted it upon the conditions that God has laid down that we would do His holy and divine will. So when we desire to become a Christian, we believe in Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins, we confess faith in Christ, and then we show in our baptism, water baptism, that we've died to the old way of life. And when we die, we are buried. You know, you bury a dead person. You don't bury a live person. Denominational churches say that you bury a live person. It's not what the Bible says. Romans 6, it says you bury the dead. And Romans 6 and verse 6, the old man of sin, ugly and tarnished and wicked, dies. And in that water we contact the precious blood of Jesus that He shed on Calvary's cross that cleanses and washes us from our sins. And when we're raised up out of that water, the water of baptism, we're a new person. We're an old one going down in, we're a new one coming back out of. And as a result of that, that don't mean we can quit. The work's not over. The job is not finished. It's only a beginning. We must live the rest of our life in living it for the Master. The new life that we've now found in Christ. The Bible says we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. In that process, we need to live every day of our life a life of righteousness, a life of godliness. We need to have the correct attitude, not only toward God, but toward our brethren in Christ, and even toward all men. And all men even includes our enemies. Having a good and compassionate attitude of desiring that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. We need to have the right influence. We need to so live to be the right example in front of and before men in every place, because the whole world lieth in wickedness. We've got to have the right thought. Even the very thoughts we have must be harnessed, must be disciplined to follow after the Lord. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." What does He tell us to think about? Think on, meditate, mull around in our mind that which is true and honest and just, right, pure, lovely, and of good report. We don't think about fornication and adultery. We don't think about stealing and embezzling. We don't think about wickedness and corruption. We don't think about hatred and murder. That's what so many people think about. But we're to replace all of those thoughts with goodness and righteousness, because we are to harness even the very thought to the obedience of Christ, that we might so live to one day hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we do every day of our lives, because we're seeking to live a Christian life day by day. The Bible also tells us that we need to be concerned for the lost. Not only are we looking to ourselves and cleaning up our own lives and bringing praise and glory to God, but then we are fit to be able to teach others to do the same. We are concerned for the lost, and that's essential to daily Christian living. What did the Lord do when He came? Among other things, a great principle stated in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, when He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Of all the things the Lord came, that was a great principle that He did. He was come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, it's so sad that so many people today are lost and don't even know it. They are lost and don't even know it. Lost means that they're separated from God. They've wandered from God. And the Bible says, through their sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23, that the wages of sin, the pay that comes as a result of sinning, is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read in verse 12, when Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, reminding them of the time before they obeyed the gospel, he said, "At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the covenants of promise and strangers." He says, "You're without God, you're without hope, you're in the world." What a sad picture, because that's where most people are today. They're outside of Christ. They're separated. They've been estranged from the Lord and His beautiful life and the forgiveness that He offers. But then, when one obeys the gospel, we read in verse 13 of Ephesians 2, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh." The word "nigh" means close or near. You're made nigh, close, near the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thought that is. And why do people live away from the Lord? Why do they live in separation from the Lord? It's because of their sins. And it's our duty and our job to show them that and to patiently show them the kind of life the Lord requires of them to have. And the very purpose He came to seek and to save the lost. And the early disciples followed that example. We need to be the same way. When persecution arose in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They didn't hush. They didn't stop. That they ran for their lives in order to save them and run, but when they did, they continued to teach and preach the things of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When Peter and John, the apostles, were called into question before the Sanhedrin, the councils in different times in the city of Jerusalem, they were threatened. "Do not preach any more in this man's name." They were beaten on occasion. They were imprisoned overnight and such. "Do not. You've turned the whole city upside down with this teaching. We don't want you to do anymore. We command you not to do anymore." And what'd they do? They left the very next morning, early in the morning. They were found around the temple teaching and preaching the things of Jesus Christ. They had a higher command to obey. The Bible tells us in Acts 5 and verse 29, when they had been commanded, they said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." And that's our job. It don't matter today if the government or the state or whoever it is enacts laws and forbids us to teach and preach the things about Jesus Christ, or forbids us to preach against homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, that such a homo and the terrible ungodly sin of that, and nowadays with the same sex marriages and so on, a great perversion of the righteousness of God. Do they come up and command us? We'll do it anyway, because we're to obey God rather than man. Now, Christians are to obey the laws of the land. Romans chapter 13 tells us that we are to obey the laws of the society in which we live. But there's one exception to that general rule, and that is when those laws demand that we violate the law of God. There we have a higher law. Immediately following World War II, of all the crimes there committed, the Nuremberg trials went on, and those in the Nazi party, those in the concentration camp, those that were involved in all the atrocities and things that went on there, and all the people that were starved and gassed and shot and everything else to put them to death. People were saying, well, we just did what we were told. The guards, well, we were just obeying our commanders. We were just doing. But one of the great themes that came out in those trials was there's a higher law. There's a higher law. There's a greater law than the laws of the land. If the law of the land, the United States today, tells us to violate God's law, then I'm sorry. We obey God rather than man. And so we've got to continue to teach all men the same thing. We must know and understand that every man and woman is lost because of their sins. And it's our job to teach them the saving message of the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's a very brief statement. That's the summation of it in a nutshell. Teach them the gospel. Those who believe it and will be baptized will be saved. But you know what people say today? You know what denominational churches say? He that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. Excuse me, friend, if I believe what the Lord said himself. Out of his own mouth he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm not going to fuss and fight and wrangle and quarrel and say, no, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do it my way, because my opinion is that baptism has nothing to do with it. Well, it has everything to do with it. Because the Lord died on the cross, there's where he shed his blood. And Romans 6 defines in detail that when we die to sin, we're buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Friend, the Lord died on the cross and was buried in the tomb. We die to sin and are buried in water. He was raised up out of the tomb to be alive, and we're raised up out of water, he says, in a new life. The analogy given there in Romans 6 is undeniable. It is un-get-overable. You cannot get around it, because it speaks to the righteousness of God and the means that he has chosen to save them that believe. Now, people mock it, they laugh at it, they ridicule it, they sweep it away and try everything they can, but they're not going to, because the Lord put it in the book. And that's the way we need to follow. That's the way we need to live. And if you don't believe it, then I'm sorry, because that's the way it is. God wrote the book. I didn't write it. Christian living, that's more than just going to church on Sunday, or perhaps even Wednesday. It's everyday living. It involves effort and work and determination if we're going to follow the Lord. This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.